This time we'll turn the brother meeting over to our brother Martin.
The main reason I wanted that portion of Scripture read was to emphasize the last verse that was read. And that is that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. Believed on, no, I don't want to put that in there, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And I thought it would fit in so well with the portion that I have on my mind for this morning and this evening in the first epistle of John. And I didn't see who the brother was who read in the first epistle of John, but I appreciated it very much when he read chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. But look at the first epistle of John with me, the first chapter. First John, chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I appreciate John's writings due to the fact, especially, that he tells us why he's writing. And as to his gospel, he tells us, he is writing it in order that we might have life. That is, that we might have eternal life by believing on his name, the Son of God. And then when he writes this epistle, he very clearly states that I'm writing this that you might know that you have eternal life. As a young believer, I was rather hard on people, and I would say to them that if you don't know you have eternal life, if you don't know it, I'm afraid you don't have it. I don't believe you can have it and not know it. But then when I read John's writings and see why he's writing, I even believe that it's possible for you to have eternal life and not know it. But John doesn't want you to stop there. He wants you to know that you have eternal life. I know in my own experience, just looking at it naturally, and especially as I, not as I grow old, but as I grow older, I am surprised sometimes to actually say, why, I had this all the time and didn't know I had it. And I believe that it is possible for one to hear a preacher preaching on the gospel, and he may listen to the gospel and understand that he has life through his name by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows that something has taken place in his body, but he may not be able to explain it and say, I know that I've been born again, or born from above. That may come even a little later. And it's a blessed thing, though, to be able to say, I know that I have passed from death into life. I know that I have eternal life and shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck me out of his hand. And to hear him say, I and the Father are one. So, we have an audience here this morning, and it's possible that you have believed the gospel and you actually don't know that you have eternal life, but something happened to you, maybe on September the 1st, 1923 or 25 or 1950, and you couldn't tell what it was. Well, in a measure, it's not too much of a sign of growth, because the Lord wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And John, in his epistles especially, he is saying, we know, we know, we know. So ask yourselves this morning, if you know that you've passed from death into life, from darkness into light. When you think of John's writings, they are the last of the writings of the apostles. Possibly, many think, in the 90 A.D. And when you think of that, all of his fellow disciples have gone to be with the Lord. He's the only apostle that's left there on the Isle of Patmos for a testimony of the Word of God given to him there in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we ought to have a deeper appreciation, I think, than we actually do of John's writings. And you will find that he writes to a great extent on the subject of the family of God. And this is a blessed thing. The family of God. And tonight, that's what I would like to speak on, the family of God. As to its togetherness and to its growth and to the adversaries that are in the way. But this morning, I want to speak largely on the reality of Christ's manhood. And then I want to speak in the latter part of this portion of the Christian message, which brings us in to full fellowship with the apostles, with God the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship is a blessed term, and not only a blessed term, but it's a blessed experience, fellowship. And if you've ever been out and alone in some section of the country where you don't have Christian fellowship, and if you're a Christian, you'll find out something of the yearning and longing to be with the people of God, to be associated with the family of God. I think today so much is emphasized about individual Christianity, individual testimonies, and so on. And what a blessed thing it is to realize that we're not independent. We shouldn't act July the 4th all our lives and act independent as a Christian witness. We ought to seek Christian fellowship in dependence upon God and the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. So when John begins this epistle, he begins it with the word that. And I should think, that is in my own natural expressions, it would be one of the last ways that I would begin a letter with the word that. Oftentimes you think of that or this, and without too much expression and valuation on the term. Oh, it's just that thing. But this word that expresses the person, and it pertains to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest unique person who ever walked in this scene. That which was from the beginning. And here's another little warning for us. So often we hear today, oh, this man's got some new truth. And here's a book written on newfound truth. And it is a good warning here for you and I to always go back to that which was from the beginning. If you go back to that which was from the beginning, you've got the good foundation to build upon, and you'll be solid, foundational, all down through your life if you hold fast to that which was from the beginning. And as we often point out, just like Peter says, I have to remind you of these things, even though ye know them. And there are three beginnings, and they're all great beginnings in our Bible. And this one that you read here, I have no doubt that it has to do with the Lord Jesus, or God, being manifested in the flesh. The day when God became man. And this is a beginning that you want to hold on to. That which was from the beginning. Because one of the great errors that we will see as we go through this epistle is a denial that he has come in the flesh. And any spirit or any man that tells you that he didn't come in the flesh is anti-Christ. So we want to get a real grip on that which was from the beginning, who took part in flesh and blood. And then you see four things that were true of John and those other fellow apostles or disciples that were with him. There was four things true of him and them. And if we're going to have fellowship with them, we ought to lay hold of these four things. And they're all found here in verse 1. The first thing is that they heard him. And there may be a little distance, as it were, between them and he as they heard him speak. But it's a remarkable thing that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he was one that lived by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the most remarkable thing to me is that even when he spake to these apostles and disciples, they would lay down their work and follow him. They heard him. And then they saw him. It is even possible, to hear someone and possibly not actually see them. I remember once I went to a Billy Graham campaign and I got back so far that I couldn't even see Billy. But I heard him and I got blessing for my soul. But you can do that. But I always think, and I don't want to speak against tapes because we make them with a bushel, but while I appreciate tapes, I appreciate far more if I can look into the face of the one who is ministering the word that is on that tape. And so John says the second thing is we not only heard him, but we have seen him with our eyes. And that's a blessing to look upon one. I was told if I wanted to become a professional speaker, I wasn't to look at the audience or their faces, but I was to look up toward the ceiling or back above the clock. That way you wouldn't get detracted from what you had to say. But bless your soul, I guess I am the only one of my kind in captivity that I like to take the pulse of everyone that I speak to. And if you'll notice that as I speak, I like to look into your faces. And if I see a frown, well, that registered. If I see a smile or a shaking of the head, or sometimes my wife goes this way, I've gone too long. But it's a blessed thing to see the one that you're speaking to or is speaking to you. And they saw him. And then the next thing is they looked upon him. Well, to look upon him, that must have been really an experience as they looked upon him. Because if you remember, they actually thought that they saw a ghost when he came into their midst. When he asked them for some honey and boiled fish, they thought they saw a phantom, you know, an illusion. And no, they looked upon him, they examined him. And he even said to them the fourth thing, handle me and see. So John says here that our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, isn't that wonderful to be able to say that? You could be saved here and you haven't entered into these four blessed things fully. Heard him, saw him, looked upon him, and your hands have handled. But you know all four of these things can be true of you and I now, just where we are, or where we live, or in our daily lives. All four of these things can be true of us. And isn't it a blessed thing when you hear his voice? Oh, time and time again, even in my need, and even in a time when I am rejoicing, I hear his voice. He speaks to me. And this is a blessed thing to realize that you have ears to hear now since you've been saved, and you can hear him speaking. And then I believe very clearly that we see him. You say, how do you see Jesus? Well, I believe this is pretty clear in the scriptures that the Apostle Paul even prayed for the Christians. And he prayed for the faithful in Christ Jesus, that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened, the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they might know the hope of their calling and of His calling. Now tell me, have you looked upon Him like this? Have you seen Him? Has your eyes been enlightened? The eyes of your heart. And could you say with the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for everything. And He's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. I believe the whole world was sanctified and set apart when Jesus expired on the cross, due to the fact that God, in His great and loving heart, wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, how sad it will be for a soul to go down in hell and know that they were once set apart by the work of Christ on the cross. He made propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. There's a mercy seat that you can flee to if you're unsaved. And oh, what a blessing this is, that none is predestinated to be lost, looked upon. And then I believe that our hands actually handle the word of life. I don't want to brag, but if you look at my Bible, you'll just see verse after verse underscored, and verse after verse that speaks of the Lord Jesus. And some of you have a red letter testament, and you have all the words that He spake. And through handling the Word of God, the intimacy that we now have brought nigh by the blood of Christ, and we are brought to Him in righteousness, we actually spiritually handle the Word of life. Oh, have we got into this place where we actually can say these four things are true of us. They're within the grasp of every one of us. You don't need to even go to a Bible school. Thank God if you can, or a seminary. You don't even have to do that. If you can just read little words like in and up and down and so on, it's remarkable what is set before us. Someone has said the little word I am is the biggest word in your Bible. You know how big it is? It takes you out of your sins and puts you in Christ. And if you're in Christ, where are you? You're in the heavens, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens or heavenly places in Christ. Don't you like that word in? I think we pretty much all know that word. And if I see you in a vessel of some kind, I don't see you very much. I see the vessel. And there isn't very much of you being exposed if you're in Christ. And we like to say, that's just your standing. Well, don't you think that our practice ought to be in accord or somewhere near our standing, our position? I think so. I like to be in home, up home, and I don't like to be out in the backyard when it's raining. And it's a good thing to be inside. And that your practice be lined up with your state, or your state be lined up with your standing. Well, these are blessed words in verse 1. And now you'll find verse 2 is in a parenthesis, and John says, now we disciples, we don't want to be the only ones that's in the good and gain of this. The life was manifested. It was opened up outwardly. These things weren't done in a corner. The life was manifested, and we have seen it. And bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. My, I'm so glad we have the words of the apostle. I'm so glad they wrote them down. I'm so glad that they have declared him unto us. And why is it that it's done? Well, in order that eternal life might be yours and you might know it. And then he goes on to say in verse 3, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you. Here he puts the word seen first because he's writing now and he possibly is putting that down first, and then as he hears things, he writes them down. Which we have seen, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with the apostles. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And oh, this is just a simple, simple truth. But oh, when we speak of our fellowship, brethren, and so often we speak of it with pride. The only fellowship that I can see that we have, brethren, is with the apostles. And I believe that they wrote as the Spirit gave them words and movement to write. And it's a blessed thing to have fellowship with the apostles. And then if we have fellowship with them, we have fellowship with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And isn't it a blessed thing when you and I can say to someone, what fellowship do you belong to? And to be able to say, well, now what fellowship does the Bible tell me to belong to? Well, the fellowship that he tells me to belong to is the fellowship with the apostles and with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is a fellowship that you will not find any factions. You won't find in that fellowship any flaws or flares or any error. That fellowship is pure and clean. And it's only when you and I, with a little measure of pride, speak of what we have accomplished, what we have set up, and what we are doing, that envy and jealousy get into it. And what a blessing it is to say that we gather to his name, unto his name. What a blessing that is. It's a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, don't get me wrong. We're going to see here that the test of profession is going to be brought before us. And there will be trial. There will be difficulties. And there will be trouble. But there's nothing wrong with the fellowship. The fellowship is complete and precious. Now he says, I'm writing these things to you so that this will get beyond me and my fellow disciples. I'm writing these things to you in verse 4 that your joy may be full. Oh, I love these words, don't you? And I can hear some of my dear older brethren with that little chorus, which I very rarely ever hear it today. They would stand up and say, not just to the children, but to we adults. They would sing, let's sing the chorus of joy. Joy, J-O-Y. And then we would start to sing. J stands for Jesus. Y stands for you. That O stands for nothing. Let nothing come between the Savior and you. I see some of you smiling. Some of you remember that chorus. But, oh, I claim it was one of the blessed ones that I ever heard in my early 20s. And I think, believe it or not, I've remembered it now for almost 60 years. Still remembered. And remember, I couldn't remember whether I left the car keys yesterday down in the trunk or up on the hook in the house. But you try to take away from me some of these things that my dear brother shared with me years ago of the Holy Spirit, and you can't do it. I'll keep them until the day of redemption. And I'm going to remind them of a lot of these things when I see them. What a joy it'll be. Well, when you come to verses 5 to the where I read, I believe you see the Christian message is set in order, bringing us into the fullness of fellowship with God, and a few tests that are being made. And so, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And you notice this. That God is light. I know God is love. But you don't get the love mentioned in John yet. If you want to get into the good and gain of knowing your salvation, you want to get into the light. And that's what you have here, is walking here, that God is in, is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And the Christian message is that you must come into the light. Make sure of that if you're going to make sure that your fellowship is going to grow and develop. Have you come into the light? Just tell me what condition you were in when you came into the light. Were you darkness? We who were sometimes darkness are now light in the Lord. Were you in your sins? That's the only way you can come into the light, is in your sins. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And there must be a time in your experience when you came just as you were, without one plea, but that Jesus died for me. And the very moment that you come into the light, and you'll find that in Him is no darkness at all. And that light will expel the darkness that is in you. And you'll be called one of the children of light. Light springs up and manifests itself. Isn't it a blessing to say that now we are the light of the world? When He was here, He spoke of Himself being the light of the world. But then when He spoke of His own, He said, now are ye the light of the world. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you lie. And you do not the truth. Oh, how sad that is, that some will say that they have fellowship, and they're in this fellowship and in that fellowship, and yet continue to walk in darkness. The apostle is so hard on you here that he says you lie, and you do not the truth. If you want to be a doer, get into the light. And if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, just as you are, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood is there because He is there. And it's a blessed thing to know that your sins have met with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has such a cleansing effect that it cleanseth us from all sin. And how long does that last? Never to be repeated. He offered himself once without spot to God, never to be repeated. Now, here's a couple warnings for us, and with these I'll close. If we say that we have no sin, and I have heard that said by people already, that they have no sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John's a little easier on you here, because you might think you are a goody-goody, and you have no sin, and he says you're deceiving yourselves. But if you don't come into the light, and you say you have fellowship, you make God a liar. So, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what blessing is this, and what warning it is to us. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What a warning it is for those who say they haven't sinned. Well, I trust this morning that you and I have been able to see together something of the humanity, the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reality of it, and then being in fellowship with him. Is it any wonder Peter says in his epistle, "Be ye holy, for the Lord says, I am holy." Don't be afraid of that word holy. God wants us to be separated unto himself and to walk here as children of the light. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for the good attention to thy word, and we thank thee that thou hast promised that it will not return unto thee void, but will accomplish that whereunto thou hast sent it. We trust, our God, that thou hast sent thy word into our midst for all of our good and gain, and we trust that this will be true this morning. Dismiss us with thy blessing, and give us journeying mercies homeward, and do remember the many dear sisters that will be on the road this afternoon, and we pray that thy protecting hand may be upon them all, as we give thanks together in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.